Amen, Travis. God bless you. If you ever wondered what a Jewish worship service would be like, that's it. Right there. There would not be Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. There would not be How Great Thou Art. There would not be Just As I Am. There would be Opening to the Psalter. And some type of instrument, probably not a guitar, but perhaps a harp. And singing verbatim God's word. So, the next time someone says to me, Brother Richard, let's do it like they used to do it in the Bible. Make sure that you know exactly what you are saying to me when you say that. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you take them and find Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. Travis, God bless you for leading us. God bless you for blessing us this morning with God's word in song. This morning on this last Sunday of December and last Sunday of 2020, I want to share a message with you entitled, Don't Cry Over a Sealed Scroll. Don't cry over a sealed scroll. Now, many of you probably recognize that sermon title is a takeoff on the idiom that we know and are familiar with, don't cry over spilled milk. By the way, that sermon title is actually from Brother Ronnie, because Brother Ronnie was originally going to be preaching this Sunday morning. And so thank you, Brother Ronnie, for sharing that sermon title with me. But we know that cliche to mean don't cry, don't worry, don't fret over situations and circumstances that have already happened and are beyond your control. We're actually going to see this morning someone crying over a situation that he cannot control. As we think about and consider, don't cry over a sealed scroll. As we think about our text this morning, there is a question that I want to pose to you, and I will come back to it multiple times throughout my sermon this morning. And it is a significant question, and it is this: what if there was no Jesus? What would that mean for you? What would that mean for you spiritually? What would that mean for you emotionally? What would that mean for you eternally? What if there was no Jesus? We began Revelation chapter 4 a few Sundays ago getting a glimpse of heaven. And in Revelation chapter 4, we saw God the Father sitting on his throne. And we will see in Revelation chapter 5, God the Father sitting on his throne. And we saw in Revelation 4, 24 elders that I suggested to you were representing the raptured church around the throne of God, worshiping God the Father. And in Revelation chapter 5, we will see those same 24 elders gathered around the throne, worshiping God the Father. And in Revelation chapter 4, we saw four angelic beings representing all of God's creation, also gathered around the throne, worshiping God the Father. And in Revelation 5, we will see those same four angelic beings gathered around the throne, worshiping God the Father. You see, Revelation chapter 5 is simply a continuation of Revelation chapter 4 in a glimpse of heaven. But we are introduced to someone new in this setting. If Revelation chapter 4 was all about, mostly about, God the Father, in Revelation chapter 5, we have the appearance of God the Son. And so this morning, again, considering this thought, don't cry over a sealed scroll and this question, what if there was no Jesus? If you have found Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, would you please stand this morning in honor of the reading of God's word, following along in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me. And John saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come this morning to hear from you. And so in these next few moments, would you please point us to your Son Jesus and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your word. And Father, if there is anyone this morning within the sound of my voice who does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord of his or her life, would you please today convict them of their lostness and draw them unto you, giving them faith to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. I direct your attention again to verse 1 and invite you to consider with me this morning the problem with the scroll. The problem with the scroll. John says there in verse 1, "I saw in the right hand of him," that's God the Father, who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now, the first question that comes to my mind when I read chapter 5 and verse 1 is what was on this scroll? What was on this scroll on the inside and was so much that it went to the backside as well? Both sides, front and back, this scroll was full. I would suggest to you this morning that it is the story or history of humanity. It is the story or history of humanity that includes the fall of mankind. The fall of mankind falling from grace through Adam and Eve and for the rest of history. And also, I would suggest to you that this story includes God's plan for redemption through Jesus the Christ, the promised Messiah. These seven seals will be the focus of Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 8. So I hope that you will be with us here at Emory Baptist Church or joining with us online in 2021 as we consider these seven seals. But generally speaking, a seal, in this case seven seals, were attached to this scroll to guarantee the integrity of the contents, to make sure that it remained authentic and genuine and true and could not be edited, taken away from, or added to. But we will see in Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 8 that these seals are the judgments of God on those who do not believe during the great tribulation. Verse 2 says that John saw an anonymous angel. We don't know this angel's name. Many have speculated that it was Gabriel, and perhaps because Gabriel literally means the strength of God. And so perhaps this is Gabriel, but again, we don't know. But John said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, asking this question: who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Who is worthy to break each and every one of these seven seals so that we can know the contents, we can know the substance, we can know this story? And then, in verse 3, a search began. But no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll, was worthy enough to open the scroll. Now keep in mind, as we're having this glimpse of heaven this morning, that all of this is yet to happen. All of this is still to come. All of this is the future. But no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able or worthy to open the scroll or to look at it. And then notice the words at the beginning of verse 4, so I wept much. We say oftentimes, and I confess I have said this, that there will be no tears in heaven. These are, in fact, the only tears in heaven. When John weeps, and not just for a little bit, but for a long while, he says, I wept much. It is true that beyond Revelation chapter 5 and verse 4, there are no more tears in heaven. There will be no tears for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life and have that home awaiting you in heaven. But John wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And perhaps here is where we insert that question. What if there was no Jesus? What if there was no one worthy to open the scroll? What if there was no one qualified to break the seal? But we have Jesus. Amen? We don't have to consider that question any longer than our time together this morning. Because not only does this passage of Scripture remind us of the problem with the seal, but beginning in verse 5, I want you to see the prominence of the Savior. Verse 25, but one of the elders, remember this is one of the 24 elders that I would say to you, representing the raptured church, said to John, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. John, don't cry over a sealed scroll because I have someone. You don't have to be heartbroken because there's no Jesus when in fact there is a Jesus. We see these Old Testament titles that were ascribed to the promised Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. And what can I say to you this morning? The first demonstration of the Savior's prominence here in this text is the fact that he has prevailed. That's the word that the New King James Version uses there in verse 5. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. How, in fact, has he prevailed? Well, let's continue on in verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, and then watch this word, stood a lamb. Stood a lamb as though it had been slain. That's significant, brothers and sisters. Because as we saw last Sunday morning, Jesus Christ just didn't come to be born in a cradle, but he came to die on a cross, but he didn't stay dead. You see, on that third day, he conquered sin, death, and the grave, and not only did he resurrect then, but he is alive today. And there will come a point where he is standing in heaven. You see, this lion, who is also a lamb, is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his prominence is demonstrated by the fact that he has prevailed. But notice also in verse 6, notice his prominence is demonstrated with his position. John says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, or your translation may read, in the middle of the throne, for everyone to worship, the center of attention, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, who was there? The Lamb, the Lion, our Savior. to be worshiped by any and all who would worship him. He's in the middle. And that is a demonstration of his prominence, so that everyone can see and everyone's attention turned to him. And while he's there in the middle, the four living creatures. Again, the four living creatures representing all of God's creation. And in the middle of the elders, representing the raptured church, stood a lamb. And then here's a third demonstration of his prominence. Stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. In God's word, particularly in the Old Testament, the horn was almost always a demonstration of strength, a sign of strength for the animal that possessed those horns. And this lamb doesn't just have one horn, or we might perhaps today think normally two horns, but seven horns. The perfect, the complete number. And seven eyes, and now we're getting a little weird, but seven eyes. And John tells us what those are, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And so here you have, in perfect harmony and perfect unity, the one who is sitting on the throne, God the Father, and the lion who was also a lamb, God the Son, and these seven eyes, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect unity here in heaven. The Holy Trinity, which is the foundation, the cornerstone, the bedrock, the cardinal doctrine of all of Christianity. And then verse 7, again, demonstrating his prominence. Then he, God the Son, came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Not because he was more powerful than God the Father, but he was as powerful as God the Father. And he took the scroll because he is the only one. There are no other who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals. And so we see the problem with the scroll and the prominence of the Savior. And the rest of the chapter is about the praise of the Son. Verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, when God the Son, the lion who was a lamb, when Jesus the Christ, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, what did they do? They fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So Travis, I don't know about guitars, but at least harps in heaven. And the four angelic beings and the 24 elders falling down. And verse 9, they sang a new song. This is the first of three hymns that we see here in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 are a hymn that is sung in praise to our Savior. And verse 12 is a hymn that is sung in praise to our Savior. And verse 13 is a hymn that is sung in praise to our Savior. Look at this first hymn, verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. By the way, brothers and sisters, when we come together as the body of Christ, it is not just to sing about God. We do sing about God. But notice what they're doing here. They are singing to God. You are worthy to take the scroll. Talking about God the Son, the Savior, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain and you redeemed us, or you purchased us to God with your blood. And so when we sing the song, I've been bought by the blood. We've been purchased by the blood. That is an idea taken from God's word. You've redeemed us to God by your blood. And notice that that opportunity, that salvation, is for anyone. Not just for Americans, not just for conservatives, not just for a certain skin color or socioeconomic class, but out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was slain, so that anyone who would receive him as Savior and Lord would be at peace with God the Father. Verse 10, and have made us kings, looking forward to his earthly reign, have made us, those that have received him as Savior and Lord, those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, we have been made kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign with him on the earth. And so these were the four living creatures and the 24 elders. But then John looked in verse 11, and he heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. So now joining the living creatures and the elders are many angels. And just so you'll know, you can certainly do the math if you choose this morning. But John's point is an innumerable amount. An amount that cannot be literally counted. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And now a second song, a second hymn. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So now, not singing to God, but singing about God, God the Son. And then a third hymn, verse 13. And now we've moved from just the living creatures and the elders, and beyond the angels and the living creatures and the elders, verse 13. And now every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, and for a third time, a third song, a third hymn, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, this is a glimpse of heaven. And the response, the verbal response, then the four living creatures said, Amen! And so on Sunday morning, when occasionally you hear a good sermon, it's appropriate for you to say, Amen! And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So, brothers and sisters, what do we do? What do we think? What do we take away from Revelation 5? First of all, I would say to you, worship today. Worship today. When the body of Christ comes together on the Lord's day to worship him, and by the way, that's why we've come together, not to worship a preacher, but to worship him. Worship today. And I always want to take this opportunity and say specifically to my brothers, specifically, if you have been born again, sing louder. Brother Richard, I'm not a very good singer. It doesn't matter. We have a guest worship leader. It doesn't matter. Because this is what you'll be doing in heaven, so you better get in practice now. That's my nap time. Doesn't matter. Worship today. Come prepared to worship today and to sing unto the Lord and about the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, not only worship today, but pray today. Pray today. I didn't comment much on it a moment ago, but would you go back to the end of verse 8 for just a moment? Verse 8 says that when the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, and then listen to this, which are the prayers of the saints. Brothers and sisters, did you know that your prayers today are a fragrant aroma in the nostrils of God? And can I encourage you this morning to pray today? Pray today when you're in trouble and pray today when you're not. Pray today when you awake and pray when you are about to go to sleep. Pray today for those who are sick and for those who are lost. Pray today for your family and for your coworkers. But regardless, pray, pray, pray today. And then finally, not only worship today and not only pray today, but can I suggest to you and invite you to love today? You see, the Lord Jesus, the Lion who was a lamb, is the only one who is worthy to open the scroll. He is the one in the center, in the middle of the throne. He is the only one who is worthy of our worship and our devotion. And so let's love him today. And in his own words, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our love to the only one who is worthy of our worship and worthy of our devotion is demonstrated in our obedience to him. And so as you're thinking about 2021, I invite you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And don't cry over a sealed scroll. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, and just a moment after I finish praying, Travis is going to come and, along with our accompanying us and lead us a very familiar song. In a time of invitation for you to respond publicly to God's word. And if you're here this morning and you know that there's never been a point in your life where you have received Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and therefore currently you don't have a home in heaven. But if today you've been convicted of your lostness, and today you would receive Christ as Savior and Lord of your life for the very first time, in just a moment, after I finish praying and while we're standing and singing, I'll be here at the front. And I would invite you to simply step out on one of our aisles and make your way to the front and just simply say something like this to me: "Brother Richard, today I want to be saved. Today I want to ask Christ to come into my life. Today I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior." I'd love to celebrate with you, to counsel with you, to pray with you, to disciple you. Maybe you are a guest with us today and you feel like that God, through His Holy Spirit, is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church. I'd love to talk with you more about that. Love to pray with you and your family. And so today I would invite you to come during our invitation. Maybe you just simply need to come and pray here at the front, or you'd like for me to pray with you. I would be more than honored to do that. But our invitation is for you to respond publicly to the way that God is leading you in response to His Word. Father in heaven, we are again grateful and thankful as the body of Christ to gather in this place and around Your Word. Father, thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. And thank You that for the promise that it will not return void. Father, do Your work in our midst on this Lord's Day and in Your people. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet?